Psychology Today reports that an estimated 45 million people in the United States are infected with genital herpes, and the number is growing by a million cases a year. The Children's AIDS Society estimates that this year alone, 25%, 1 in 4, of sexually active teens will contract a sexually transmitted disease. Young people are encouraged to practice safe sex. Is there such a thing as safe sex? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
A couple decades ago, educators and sociologists touted that sex education in public schools was going to curb rising rates of sexually transmitted diseases and unwanted pregnancies. People were told that they could avoid harmful consequences of sexual behavior by practicing safe sex. Sex is one of the most basic of biological functions. It's how the human race is propagated from one generation to the next. So why is this natural function causing people to get sick and even die? Just how serious is the sexual health risk in the United States? David Palmer reports from the news desk.
It's a lot more serious than many people would believe, Gary, since the variety of diseases related to sexual promiscuity can be an embarrassment, especially for those in marriage relationships. The only statistic we have are estimates at best. However, it's believed many Americans have unreported social diseases. Nevertheless, an estimated 45 million U.S. citizens are believed infected with genital herpes, with more than 1 million new cases each year. That's one in every five Americans. Now, while we often look at third world countries as being backward or uneducated by our standards, the truth is the United States has the highest rate of sexually transmitted diseases in the developed world. Canada and Britain are not far behind. And women now account for a large number of those STDs. Nearly one in five U.S. adolescent females has some undiagnosed infection, with one of the more common diseases, chlamydia, affecting 13% of our female population and almost 10% of healthy young men unknowingly carrying that disease. And one of the more amazing stats is related to the venereal wart virus, HPV. Here in the U.S., experts tell us almost 30% of young adults carry this transmittable disease. Many are girls as young as 13. In fact, case studies show an increase of HPV tenfold between 1969 and 1988. No indication of a slowdown in the last dozen years either. How did we get to this point in a country of freedom? Some observers believe the problem is that freedom of religion can be translated to mean freedom from God. As a result, the breakdown in moral values has, it seems, placed a dark shadow over illicit sex. Gary?
David, how serious is the STD problem in the rest of the Western world outside of the U.S.?
The stats on a global basis, Gary, indicate a staggering worldwide estimate of more than 300 million cases of one form or another of sexually transmitted diseases. Those figures reported in the John Hopkins Family Health Report of 1999. In England, there has been a dramatic rise in sexually transmitted diseases over the past 5 years. One of the most notable, genital chlamydia infection, affects thousands of women. Many of them are young teenage girls. The increase is almost 76% higher than just a few years earlier. The reported cases of gonorrhea in Britain is up 55%. Infectious syphilis has increased 54% over the past few years. One report says sexual promiscuity in the UK has resulted in an increase from 624,000 disease cases in 1990 to more than 1.25 million by 1999. And according to the British Medical Journal, the highest rates of sexually transmitted infections occur among young people between the ages of 16 and 24. If we were to look at figures for other countries, Gary, we'd find the same results. Whether looking at the British Commonwealth countries, Canada and Australia, or looking at European nations, countries like Sweden, France, Italy, the sad statistical story is all the same. And unbelievable as it may sound, the prognostication on a worldwide scale is a frightening prediction that in the next few decades, millions, possibly as many as 300 million people, will die from the dreaded disease AIDS. That's more people than the current population of the United States. Even today, the number tops 40 million adults and children affected by HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. And there is no sign of a slowdown. 5 million new cases were reported in 2001 alone. The truth is, Gary, the world chose the low road of morality, and in doing so is traveling what appears to be a high road to self-destruction.
Thanks, David. It would seem that the fear of sexually transmitted diseases would cause teenagers to think twice about engaging in any sexual activity. The statistics prove otherwise. According to a U.S. News & World Report, quote, kids from all walks of life are having sex at younger and younger ages. Nearly one in ten reports losing his or her virginity before the age of 13, a 15% increase since 1997. Some 16% of high school sophomores have had four or more sexual partners, unquote. Of course, the most frightening of all sexually transmitted diseases is AIDS. Once a disease most common in the homosexual community, the majority of AIDS cases are now transmitted through heterosexual contact. AIDS is a truly global problem. UNAIDS and the World Health Organization's latest figures, 40 million adults and children are infected with HIV or AIDS. There were 5 million new cases in 2001 alone. There's no more tragic example of the scourge of AIDS than in Africa, where it is estimated that 28 million people are afflicted with this dreaded disease. According to The Economist, in some villages in the southern part of that continent, every person between the ages of 15 and 45 has already died from complications due to AIDS, leaving elderly grandparents to raise little children with no real means of economic support. One of the reasons is the migrant labor system. Many of the men in the regions where HIV is out of control live in their ancestral homeland, but work at facilities far from their families. They spend most of the year living in hostels near their places of work, while wives and children stay at home. When they're away from home, many have girlfriends or visit prostitutes. They contract HIV and carry the virus home, where they infect their wives. In some places, the entire population is at risk. Listen to this report from The Economist. A typical pattern is as follows. One of southern Mozambique's 40,000 migrants to the Rand, which is South Africa's mining belt, comes home on leave. He may have been infected by a prostitute. Surveys suggest 80% of these are HIV positive, or perhaps by a local girl in a nearby township with whom he has been having a long-standing affair. 60% infection rate. He probably knows about condoms. Indeed, they are generally dished out free at the mine. But with his township girl, he does not use one, nor with his wife. She then becomes infected. In due course, a child is born who is probably infected at birth, or if not, through breastfeeding. The father is usually the first to die. Then, in Mozambique and Zambia, the father's brother will soon step in to help look after the children. He will, by tradition, take the mother as a second wife. He will then be infected too. In due course, she will die. Sometimes the pattern is broken only when the entire family is left dead. We have to take a break, but we'll be back in the next segment to discuss the scourge of AIDS right after this.
How do we make sense of suffering? How do we reconcile the reality of so much human suffering, anguish, and misery with the existence or fairness of a divine being who, according to the pages of the Bible, is all-loving and infinitely merciful? This quandary has plagued men and women for centuries. Theologians, thinkers, and philosophers have puzzled over it for years. We've recently put together what may be one of our most important booklets, Why Does God Allow Suffering? It addresses all these questions head-on, right from the pages of your Bible. This crucial booklet reveals the source of so much human suffering and lets you see from the Bible how and when all suffering will eventually cease. Call right now 1-800-966-9232 for our free booklet titled, Why Does God Allow Suffering? There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. Thank you. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Melvin Rhodes, a minister in the United Church of God, lived in Africa for 12 years and still travels there on a number of occasions and has personally seen some of the devastation of the AIDS epidemic firsthand. Today he joins us on a telephone hookup from Lansing, Michigan. Melvin, thanks for joining us. Just how bad is the AIDS problem in parts of Africa?
It's all over Africa. Southern Africa is the worst part. In some countries in Southern Africa, up to 38% of the people are HIV positive, which is a staggering percentage. Even in Burkina Faso in West Africa, recently they tested ladies being taken into the hospital and 15% were HIV positive. So it varies from one country to another, but especially in Southern, Eastern, and Central Africa, it is really bad.
Well, why is the AIDS problem in that part of the world so out of control?
I think it has a lot to do with culture and traditions. First of all, there's a great deal of ignorance and superstition amongst many of the people. Many people do not believe that that AIDS has got anything to do with their sexual activity. They also believe that they can go to the traditional healer, somebody that we would call a witch doctor, and they can be healed of the problem that they've got. So they have a very fatalistic approach to life, and that's true, of course, when it comes to AIDS. Some people even accuse the CIA of having spread AIDS to Africa, and they just don't take it all that seriously. Additionally, there's a different concept of the family in Africa. Family, for example, if a husband dies, then the lady, the wife, the mother will marry the husband's brother. And, you know, if her husband died of AIDS and she's got AIDS, she will pass it on to the brother and he will pass it on to his other wives. And a lot of people, especially the wealthy, have a lot more than one wife.
Is there anything that the governments of those countries can do to change the situation? Or for that matter, what can the U.S. or Europe do to help?
Often African countries will say that they need more money to educate the people, but I don't feel that education is the answer here. A lot of countries have spent a great deal on education, but it's not really achieved all that much. What is really needed is to emphasize a very simple fact, that the only way to avoid HIV is to have no sex outside of marriage. Education just hasn't worked, and you know, that obviously has contributed to the increasing death rate and the spread of AIDS, because there is so much misinformation in spite of all the educational programs that they've got.
Now, you've spent quite a bit of time in Africa. You lived there for 12 years. What countries have you personally visited or lived in?
I lived in Zimbabwe and Ghana. We visited just about all the countries in Southern Africa, South Africa, Botswana, Zambia, Malawi, Uganda, Kenya in East Africa. Uganda has been very badly affected by AIDS. And then in West Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, Cameroon, Togo, Liberia, and all of these countries are slowly being affected badly as well.
Maybe you could pass on some personal stories. I mean, what have you personally seen as far as the effects of AIDS on people's lives in that part of the world?
I've seen too many families devastated by AIDS. Usually what happens is the husband or father dies first, and then probably one child, and then maybe the mother will die. And quite often you have a situation where the grandparents are left to bring up young children. And as most people are subsistence farmers, struggling to make a living off the land, this has a devastating effect upon the family's financial situation. And so it really has a terrible effect upon people.
Is there such thing as safe sex? We'll be back with more right after this.
How do we make sense of suffering? How do we reconcile the reality of so much human suffering, anguish, and misery with the existence or fairness of a divine being who, according to the pages of the Bible, is all-loving and infinitely merciful? This quandary has plagued men and women for centuries. Theologians, thinkers, and philosophers have puzzled over it for years. We've recently put together what may be one of our most important booklets, Why Does God Allow Suffering? It addresses all these questions head-on, right from the pages of your Bible. This crucial booklet reveals the source of so much human suffering and lets you see from the Bible how and when all suffering will eventually cease. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, Why Does God Allow Suffering? There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're back with Pastor Melvin Rhodes discussing the African AIDS epidemic. Melvin, what do you think is the long-term diagnosis? How does this situation play out over the next year or 5 years down the road?
There was a time with the HIV virus that the number of people infected doubled every 8 or 9 months. That increase has slowed down somewhat because the sheer numbers of people with HIV now is just so great. As I mentioned earlier, in some countries it's up to almost 40% of the people in the peak reproductive age group, that's ages 15 through 45, are HIV positive. One African president, I think, summed it up well when he said that in 10 years his country will not exist because so many of the adults will be dead from AIDS. And how you solve that problem is obviously very difficult because these people have already got the virus. They're already HIV positive. One thing I might mention is that we lived in Zimbabwe during the civil war there in the 1970s. And one of the cities in which we lived, the city of Bulawayo, had 3 cemeteries. And during the Civil War, those cemeteries operated Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. Now all 3 are operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they still cannot keep up with the numbers of people that need to be buried. It's just a staggering and unbelievable crisis that is affecting that region of the world at this time.
Well, does the AIDS epidemic affect any particular segment of the population more than another?
Yes, it does. In African countries, the better educated people are, the more likely they are to become HIV positive. And there's a reason for this. And again, it goes back to African culture. The more successful a person is in Africa, the bigger he's expected to be, because he's obviously going to be eating and drinking more, but also the more girlfriends he's expected to have. And the result is that often the professional classes are the ones who are most affected by the HIV virus. And so some countries with very few well-educated people in the first place are finding that those well-educated people are dying off fairly rapidly, and this is going to leave a terrible gap in those countries' social structure.
Well, in your experience then, what is the solution to this problem?
There's only one solution, Gary, and this is a solution that governments are not really facing up to, and that is total submission to the 7th commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Only when people understand and fully realize that the only way to stop the HIV virus from spreading is to stop having sex outside of marriage, is this problem going to be resolved? And even then, it's going to take a couple of decades before it's completely eradicated.
Sobering and frightening. Thanks, Melvin, for sharing this information with us on Good News Radio.
Thank you, Gary.
Why does God allow such horrible diseases like AIDS? How can a loving God allow innocent children to be born with the HIV virus? If you're wrestling with these kinds of questions, you need to order your free copy of Why Does God Allow Suffering? Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The call is free. The booklet is free. The answers you may discover may change your life. The number once again is 1-800-966-9232. The Christianity of the Bible has solutions for today's problems, but few people, even many professing Christians, want to apply those principles. We just don't want to accept that the Creator of life really knows how life is supposed to work. Sex and marriage were created by God as the most fundamental of human relationships. In the Genesis account of creation, God gives the instructions, "A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." It's true that all mammals reproduce through a sexual union, but the one flesh concept of the Bible transforms this biological function into a mental and emotional experience. The Apostle Paul writes about this uniquely human aspect of the one flesh experience in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, he states, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it." God didn't create sex to make us sick. He created this union as a special aspect of the relationship between a man and woman united in the sacred covenant of marriage. A sexual relationship in marriage is not only for reproduction, but is meant to produce a pleasure bond and emotional attachment between two people who are committed to each other for life. This is why adultery is condemned so strongly in the Bible. Adultery damages this unique and beautiful relationship. At the heart of the frightening growth of STDs is society's disregard for the unique relationship of marriage. Any solution to the AIDS epidemic must begin with the promotion of the concept of the sacredness of marriage. And this must start in the Christian world. How can non-Christians see the benefit of God's ordination of sex in marriage if Christians are plagued with sexual immorality, homosexuality, and divorce? The failure of public school sex education to curb STDs proves that solutions that promote information without moral responsibility simply propagate the diseases and emotional trauma that they were supposed to alleviate. When will educators acknowledge that failure? Will it ultimately take the statistics of AIDS victims in the United States reaching the catastrophic numbers in Africa? Is 30 million or 40 million people infected with HIV enough to turn the heads of those who refuse to accept that this just isn't an issue of biology, but an issue of why human beings exist and what is our purpose in life? How do we protect our children from STDs? How do Christians combat the permissiveness public sex education sometimes unwittingly and sometimes purposely promotes? Be sure and join us next week here on Good News Radio as we look at teenage sexuality and what parents can do to deal with the dangers of STDs in part two of Why Isn't Sex Safe? Now, if you would like to comment on today's program, and we may even read your comment on the air, you can contact Good News Radio on the Internet by emailing us at gnradio@ucg.org. That's gnradio@ucg.org. We do appreciate your feedback on the program, and we do read every email. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
How do we make sense of suffering? How do we reconcile the reality of so much human suffering, anguish, and misery with the existence or fairness of a divine being who, according to the pages of the Bible, is all-loving and infinitely merciful? This quandary has plagued men and women for centuries. Theologians, thinkers, and philosophers have puzzled over it for years. We've recently put together what may be one of our most important booklets, Why Does God Allow Suffering? It addresses all these questions head-on, right from the pages of your Bible. This crucial booklet reveals the source of so much human suffering and lets you see from the Bible how and when all suffering will eventually cease. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, Why Does God Allow Suffering? There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.